This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Banks and their rainy day funds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Chrysler, owned by Fiat of Italy, is reporting very strong sales today, up 20% in August, in part because Jeeps and pickups are moving out of dealerships like crazy. Nissan also handily beat expectations with sales up 11%. That and geopolitics are defining the mood on markets. Rob Stein is CEO of Chicago-based Aster Investment Management. Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
Whether it was a ceasefire or talk about someday a Russia-Ukraine ceasefire this morning, market players were buoyed a bit by the headlines. What do you think, Rob? A momentary blip?
Yes, I do. I think the market is more concerned with the economic fundamentals, what the Fed's going to do, than the latest headline out of Ukraine or the Middle East.
It's just prone in that direction. That's what happens during a bear market.
Yes, but when the economic fundamentals are supportive of owning risk assets, those blips are the risk you pay for the return. And right now, the economic fundamentals are suggesting it's worth sitting through the momentary blip, and it's not likely to impact the long-term outlook for stocks.
Until something big happens that changes the paradigm, right? I don't know what that would be, but we're watching the big unemployment report due in a couple of days here about the U.S. I suppose some kind of surprise there would change the outlook.
Well, it would in theory. I don't think that's the case. You're not going to be buying less McDonald's hamburgers or fewer shoes all of a sudden. It's a gradual ebb and flow. So as the data continues to get slightly better each quarter, the likelihood of risk assets appreciating remains high.
Rob Stein at Aster Investment Management, Chicago. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Later today, several bank regulators, including the Federal Reserve and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, will vote on a rule that's designed to improve the way that banks manage risk, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
After the last financial crisis, regulators started to worry about the next one, so they proposed a liquidity coverage ratio. Oliver Ireland is a securities lawyer with Morrison Foerster. He says it would require banks to hold high-quality assets.
Presumably, you could sell into the market at a reasonable price in order to generate liquidity to meet, for example, customer withdrawals.
For several years now, regulators have wrestled with what constitutes a high-quality asset. Lawrence Baxter is a law professor at Duke University.
There are all kinds of securities that have varying degrees of liquidity.
There's debt you can get rid of quickly, like U.S. bonds. Then there's debt that's harder to sell. Think mortgage-backed securities in 2008.
The more liquid the assets, the safer they are, but also the less yield-bearing they are likely to be.
Which poses a problem for banks. They've been bringing in record profits, and Baxter says they're under pressure to keep doing that. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Everywhere you look, there are grim projections about retirement in America. Too many older people who haven't saved enough, forced to work until their dying day. Well, Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell does not see it that way. He's just written a book that argues there is cause for celebration about what we'll get to do in our later years. The book is called Unretirement, and I spoke to Chris about it the other day when my voice sounded better. I see throughout the book you're quoting Dylan and Springsteen here, but I'm curious about your optimism about the graying of America? I would have thought just one band name would have summed it up, Dire Straits.
Oh, David, that is the common theme that is out there, that this aging of the population is going to push the government toward bankruptcy. And here's the thing. You have an elderly population that is well-educated, and they want to work longer. They are working longer. So an aging population, it's good news for the economy. It is not dire straits.
All right. So give me a better sense of the opportunities. You talk about, for instance, third-age entrepreneurs. Let's start with them.
You know, when we think about entrepreneurship, it's Mark Zuckerberg, right, and Facebook. It's about youth. But a quarter of all new businesses are started by the 55 to 64-year-old age group. And so older entrepreneurs, they have skills, they have a network. And the thing about entrepreneurship is you also deal a lot less with age discrimination. And the other thing is you get to be your own boss. There's a real lure there.
When we sit here talking about job opportunities for Americans who can't retire or don't want to retire, we're about to get emails and tweets from younger listeners, because this has happened in the past, who can't find work now and will say something like, "Not so fast, Grandpa. That's my job you're taking." What do we say to the younger workers? Is it valid to think of this as a zero-sum game?
It is not valid to think of the job market as a zero-sum game. 30 years ago, there was all this discussion. If you go back and you look at the op-ed pages, and it was, oh, all these women are going into the job market. There aren't going to be any jobs for men. Well, guess what? The pie grows. And so if older workers are getting jobs, it turns out younger workers are also getting jobs. We're all in it together, and the pie will continue to grow.
Marketplace's economics guy Chris Farrell's new book is called Unretirement: How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Way We Think About Work, Community, and the Good Life. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And the latest now on data thieves getting into the cloud computer accounts of celebrities, including actress Jennifer Lawrence. Apple now admits that the iPhone accounts of some celebrities were infiltrated, but says the hackers did not get willy-nilly into its iCloud data storage systems. The suggestion is that very focused thieves managed to figure out the passwords of some famous people. Celebs may be more vulnerable than others because there's more public info out there that could enable internet creeps to guess the answers to their security questions. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.